Well, hello and welcome to the Voices of Courage. I'm Ken D. Foster, and today we're talking about something that holds more people back than fear itself, which is invisibility. You know, there are brilliant souls out there. You know, whether you're an entrepreneur, a gifted author, a powerful speaker, you have a life-changing message. Maybe you're an engineer. Maybe you're working for an organization, a nonprofit, whoever you are out there. The biggest challenge you might have is invisibility, right? You know, we got a lot of voices out in the world, and, you know, they're very loud. But, you know, sometimes the voices with wisdom, with courage, with understanding, those voices are not out there. And that might be you. If I'm talking to you, then this is the show for you. You know, talent without visibility stays silent, right? And purpose without strategy also stays small. And courage without action never becomes influence. In today's world, you know, there's not enough of us out there, the people that have truly developed wisdom. And it doesn't matter what age you are. Wisdom comes, and I've known four-year-olds with more wisdom than 70-year-olds. You probably have too. You know, wisdom is there, but we, you know, if you're in a place where you're running from a life of, I wish I could speak, I wish I could be out there, I wish I could be influential, and of course you're tired of the, you know, the, maybe even putting little clips, reels or snippets of yourself on social media, and you really want to find your voice, you really want to be in the world in a greater way. That's what this show is about today. You know, when you're an authority, when you become an authority, it doesn't just happen, right? There's something greater inside of you that you have to connect to. This thing we call the soul. Your soul is in there, and it's waiting to come out. You know, you got the soul, and you got the ego. And the ego's there. You know, you need your ego, okay? You know, the ego's there to protect you, right? You know, but the ego's fear-based. The soul is courage-based. The ego is, you know, the soul's also faith-based. It believes, it trusts, it moves into a level of understanding when you connect. You know, I've learned over the years that stillness is the price of greatness. Stillness. Get quiet. Leonardo da Vinci said isolation is the price of greatness, right? Why did he say that? And greatest inventor, creator of the Renaissance. Well, if you talk to some of the greatest inventors today, they get still also. They get quiet because they need that time to connect with this, what we would call the, universal mind, cosmic consciousness. There's so many names for it, Akashic field, but it's there for all of us to connect to. We do that. Why am I saying that? We do that. You get still. You start getting ideas, understanding. But listen. All those ideas, if you don't have a voice, if you're afraid to get out in the world, if you don't have the courage, then it all stays silent. And nobody experiences your gifts, your talents, your abilities, the presence of who you are in the world. So that's what our show is dedicated today. I have a powerful man on this show. His name is Mr. Awesome. He's going to come in just a second and be awesome for us and tell us really how to connect, move past worries and fears and misunderstandings and misjudgments into power, empower. And you're going to be empowered when you listen to them.
So excited to be here, Ken. Thank you so much. What an honor, man. This is an honor. This is awesome. You know, when I was born, literally, and I went to college, and I put down on my goals. I was like, there are three goals I want to do. I want to be successful, I want to be happy, and I want to be on Ken's show.
Ah, you're really. It's so silly.
Seriously, it's great.
Thank you for that. That's it's very honoring. For those of you that don't know Eric, Eric Swanson, he's an internationally recognized motivational speaker, best-selling author. I think you told me 33 books now, publisher and founder of Habitude Warrior International, known as Mr. Awesome, which I just mentioned. Eric has helped thousands, probably tens of thousands of entrepreneurs, authors, and speakers amplify their message, increase their influence, and build profitable platforms through live events, publishing programs, and strategic media positioning. He empowers leaders to turn their expertise into impact and income. Eric is a master at helping people get visible, get credible, and get paid for their purpose. You know, it's interesting, Eric. I mean, I think we all come with a unique gift, talent, and ability on this planet. Everybody has it. You got to find it. You got to find your purpose. But when you find it, it's just like you're part of the puzzle piece. You become part of the solution and you start helping to be of service in this world instead of taking from this world. That's just my thought. Anyway, welcome to the show.
It's exactly, that sums up everything. I'm sitting here sitting and drinking my water because I got rid of three things I got rid of years ago. I got rid of negativity, coffee, and alcohol. Those are the three things I got rid of. And this is the No Drama Serve Others is my logo, my motto, my creation, NDSO. And I actually have a dog tag that I keep on me at all times. It literally says NDSO, No Drama Serve Others. So I love the fact that you're talking about serving. And that's, and it's, well, we'll talk about this in the show. I'm sure, but it's all about, when we're first starting off, like, do you remember when you were first starting off in the self-development arena and you want to make a difference in the world, but you also want to make a name for yourself, right? So we're climbing that name ladder and then you reach the plateau and you're like, you know what? I'm good. I want to help people. It's not, I don't want to do it for me. I want to do it for the world, right? So and that's what you're doing, Ken. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you. You know, I remember reading Profiles in Courage by John Kennedy and the president, John Kennedy. And years ago, I was reading about his family, and you were talking about his dad, Joe Kennedy, and how the family value was service. Mm-hmm. That's what he taught his kids, to be of service. And, it's it worked out pretty well, for the Kennedy. It still is. I mean, Bobby Kennedy, I just met him in person a couple months back and spent about an hour with him. It was awesome. And here's another man that's RFK Jr. He's of service, and he's helping the nation in so many different ways. And you're of service, Eric. You've always been of service. And I don't know about always, but since I've known you, you have been, And
it was 1 year I took off, but the rest of the time, yeah, I've always been in service.
And 1 year you took off being of service. Just wanted to be self-centered for you, right?
I just want to, it was the yin and yang. I wanted to see what, am I doing right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Am I doing it right? Yeah. Yeah. Let me see what happens if I just go back to just self-centered behaviors. All about me.com. Totally. Like, trying to get everything I can from you, Let me see how that works.
Exactly. That's true. Yeah. I had a silly joke. I won't say it.
Yeah. Well, you talk as authority is inner alignment. I like to start there. Let's talk about that. What, you got people out there that, we're going to talk about how to make them a lot more visible. But before you get visible, you got to get aligned. So I was talking about, how do we get aligned, man? Tell me what that means to you.
Yeah. So being aligned, what it means to me is really just finding out your true values for yourself, and taking that, what we used to call the passion test and the value test. And it's like, finding out why you're doing the certain things, like Simon Sinek says, start with why. It's so true. Like it's, and we have in the world, we have enough people that are striving to climb that ladder because of self-serving rather than looking at the real values. What is your true values? And for me, it's, I use my mentor is Brian Tracy. As I grew up working with Brian Tracy for years and years and years. So I started with him about almost 30 years ago. I started working with him. And he used to have something called the quick list method. I guess he still does. Quick list method that we used to use. So if you're looking to find your values to align yourself, what I would suggest you do is what I did, is take a notebook, take a blank piece of paper and write down, you know, 10 different major values that you want to accomplish, you know, or traits that you love about other people. You know, for instance, you know, Ken is amazing at serving. You know, so I want to be in service. Okay. What are some other values that you want? You know, maybe it's I've got a whole lot of my friends are married with kids, you know, family is a huge value for me. So writing these things down that are valuable for you in your life, and then creating that, writing it down, by the way, actually literally puts it into the universe. So then I don't know how it works. I talk to my buddies like John Astaroff, our buddies, right? John Astaroff and the people who deal with brains and why the function really works this way. But if you write things down, the written word, it tends to actually come to fruition, to life, right? You give it purpose. You give it a birth, which is beautiful. So to get in line, alignment, for me, it means really centering yourself, right? And knowing the true value of you. And it's interesting, and not to say this in a self-serving way, but it's very, I'm blessed to hear this from my friends, my true friends, in this industry, right? For years, I've been in it for almost 30 years. And there was this shift. Have you ever noticed, Ken, like a shift in your life or in your, you know, like in your trajectory that you're going in. And there was this shift. And I don't know, maybe you've noticed it as well. You and I haven't talked about this, about my shift, but maybe you did notice it over the years, because I've known you for, I don't know, 15 years now, something like that. And I remember there being a time where I literally, they call it Satori, right? Is a Japanese term. It means instant awakening. And I had this like instant awakening, like, okay, why am I doing that just to go prospect or sell or meet more people or whatever, or climb that ladder? And that shift happened in the alignment shift, or in the service shift. And that was, and a lot of my friends, close friends, had said, you know, I love this new you. I'm like, I don't know what, nothing's really changed. They go, yeah, something's changed. And I didn't even notice it until they pointed it out. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I would say that the first thing you did with that shift, and I've done the same thing, is I start questioning, like, well, what if, you know, what if what I'm doing would be different? Maybe this isn't where I'm aligned right now. Right. It was aligned for a while, but now it's not aligned. And so I start questioning that. And then I wrote a book years ago called Ask and You Will Succeed, right? So I'll ask a question like, well, what has to happen for this, you know, for a new presence, a new way of being, a new way of seeing to happen within my life? And that's shifted me several times. I put on these new like lenses and it's like, whoa. And I see things differently. And what you're talking about is a kind of a global shift where your whole being just completely steps into this more peaceful, more calm, more like just present way. Right. And that happens after many of these small shifts.
Right. Yeah, that's right. The small shifts equal the big shifts. Boy, that's hard to say. Yes,
it's true.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's when I started on this path, I was definitely chasing money. You know, I was just chasing it. You know, I wanted to have a lot of money, just chasing wealth. But then I started to understand about, you know, wealth and energy and what, you know, how does that tune in, right? You know, if I'm just chasing money, what am I really doing? And I know you talk a lot about that, you know, and, you know, stop chasing money, start understanding the principles of energy exchange. I'd love to hear your take on that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, I was just talking to some other huge leader friends of ours the other day, and talking about money. You know, if you take what is money? I mean, it's a piece of paper, right? So we're chasing pieces of paper, right? $100 bills or $20 bills. I wish I was alive when they had the $500 and the $1,000 bills. Those would have been cool. But it's like, why are we chasing this? So if you think about it, the word purpose, if we go back to that, take a look at this little piece of paper that's a money paper. And what is it really for, right? Are you chasing this piece of paper, or are you chasing the purpose behind the piece of paper, right? So that's where the shift comes in, where you know, if you really dissect it, you ask this series of questions. And I love what you just said. Like, you started to ask yourself these questions. Questions are the answers. It truly is. Like, so many of our greats, Jim Rohn used to tell me that in person. I shared the stage with Jim Rohn way back when, right before he passed. And it's just amazing if you really find your purpose. And that's a way to do it, is ask yourself that question. Like, here's, you know, $100. Here's $100,000. Here's $1 million. What are you going to do with it is the key, right? And then that is your purpose of where you want to go. And that's the alignment factor. Ooh, alignment factor. I need to write another book. Hold on 1 second. Let me grab my laptop. I'm writing another book right now, The Appreciation Factor. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, the alignment factor is one of the keys in, you know, it's with that energy exchange. You know, we are energetic beings, and obviously, you know, we have a vibration, a frequency within us. And what the big shift happened for me is when where the money really started flowing is what we talked about in the beginning. It was shifting from getting to giving, mm-hmm. from a place of what can I do for you instead of what can you do for me?
Yeah.
A place of looking at people from a place of compassion and understanding. And that fueled everything. Then all of a sudden I was on fire, right? And I bet that happened to you. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, of course. It's happened to me so many times throughout my life, actually. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Listen, I got to take a quick break. And when we come back, like to talk to you on reprogramming our thinking. It's how we do that at a real fundamental level. So people, what I want to say is, failure leads clues, results lead clues. Mm. It all starts in the mind.
Mm.
And so we'll address that when we come back.
Sounds great.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, Eric. Swanson is with me today. Mr. Awesome. I haven't had Mr. Awesome on my show for a while. I know we've done other shows. We've done a lot. You know, we've done summits. We've done a whole bunch of things over the years. And so it's really good to have you. I feel so grateful to have you on my show today. And you got so much wisdom and a wealth of knowledge out there. You know, there are people out there that are getting poor results right now. I know you are out there. I know my audience. Some of you are going, you know what? I'd like to have a better relationship. I'd like to have more money in my life. I'd like to have better health. I'm tired of carrying this weight around. I'm ready to step up and be more energetic or travel the world, you know, but you're not getting the results that you want. Eric, what's the fundamental cause of that?
Oh, fundamental cause of them not getting the results? There's a few fundamental causes of that. One is they don't believe in themselves. Two, they don't think they can do it. And three, they don't have the discipline or commitment to actually stick with it. That's it.
So how do we get over the first one? I don't believe in myself.
So that's a great question. So here's the scoop. And I'm not sure if this will work for everyone. Clearly everyone's different personalities and so forth. But the what works for me and works for a ton of my coaching clients is develop a system that you can actually teach yourself to believe in yourself. How do you do it? Well, you know, I go back to the Roger Bannister days. You know, if you're familiar with, obviously
I'm out there. You know, I'm up there.
You should know. I had just had a conversation with somebody. So I'm into these new trail running shoes. I see them over here. They're called Norda, NORDA. They're amazing. Oh my God, they're awesome. And I was at this running shoe shop, okay, like high end. And I asked her, the lady that was helping me, I said, you know, well, it's kind of like Roger Bannister, you know, because we started talking about some attitude things and so forth, you know, like back in 1952, right? And or 54, I think it was. And she goes, oh, who's that? I'm thinking, her of all people should know who it is. My point being, everyone here on Ken Foster's show should know the Roger Bannister story. And if you don't, I'm sure everyone knows. So everyone who's watching right now, please take a 30-second break. Just take a break. The one or two people who don't know, I'm going to share with you what the story is. So the story is that Roger Bannister he just passed a couple years ago. He's from Britain, and he actually was the very first person to run a sub-4-minute mile. Okay, so in running, you know, running, like I jog. Okay, but he runs, and he runs really fast. And so I used to run a 6-minute mile back in high school and college, and then it went to 7. Now it's like, you know, 6 months or something for a mile for me. But anyway, so the point.
You and I would keep up with each other then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard there's a new technique, by the way, that I'm absorbing now. It's you work out for 20 minutes a day on Monday. And then if you don't, then on Tuesday, you have to work out for 40 minutes. You have to double it. Okay. And then Wednesday, you have to double that and so forth. So today, later on after this interview, I have to work out for 7 months. So anyway, the Roger Bannister story. So in 19, was it 52 or 54? I always get those.
I think it was 52.
Okay, let's go with 52. 1952, Roger Bannister was the very first person in history, in the world, to run a sub-4-minute mile, means 3 minutes and whatever, 58 seconds or whatever it was, below 4 minutes. Everyone else was at 4 minutes or a little higher. And he did it. Oh, my gosh. So all the reporters are there. Everyone's like, oh, my gosh, you're amazing and so forth. So, which is great. It's amazing. And what it can tell you is you can do it. If he can do it, you can do it, right? And belief systems. And there's tons of Roger Bannister stories out there in different types of walks of life, right? Just pick it, you know, look at the Olympics right now. You know, we're seeing feats of glory, of awesomeness, right? So the Roger Bannister story, though, in the self-development world that we're in is this, it doesn't stop there. It goes on. And here's the rest of it. In 1952, he broke the record. Well, within about 6 months or 7 months after that, within that next 6 months or 7 months, about 15 or 16 other people did it as well. I don't know the stats. You would have to look it up. But about 15 or 16 other people broke that record as well. I mean, it matched his record, basically, right? Broke the 4 minute mile. And what that tells me is, I mean, if you think of come out with a brand new shoe that day or, you know, right after him, I don't know, maybe.
By the way, I want to correct us. Okay. May 6th, 1954, time 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds.
There you go. Okay. 54. Okay. Good to know. Thank you. So 1954, sub 4 minute mile. But what really is amazing is that 15 or 16 other people did it right after him. So what's that tell you, Ken? It tells me that it's a belief system, right? It wasn't the shoe or the it wasn't a physical thing. Think about it. It wasn't a physical thing. It was a mental change, a mental shift, a belief system that these people had. If that person can do it, I can do it as well, right? Which I love it. You know, it's wasn't there a children's, like a when we were growing up, a train, a choo-choo, I think I can. Well, I forgot what it was, but
yeah.
Right.
It was. And I think, you know, the point here too is to of course never give up. But the point is that when you have that shift, when I've had my shifts, when Eric's had his shifts, it shifts inside first and then it's experienced outside of ourselves, right? Is exactly what Mal Roger did. He shifted the mindset to the possibility that this can actually happen. He worked his ass off, okay? He didn't just sit there and think about it. He worked his butt off. But because of the shift in consciousness, he shifted. By the way, thought is not individual. Thought is universal. And so when he shifted, there were all these other people collected. We're all connected, right? Collectively.
It's a collective thought. I love that. And the frequency. I literally just wrote a book called The Book of Frequency. Here it is on my desk. And it's all about aligning yourself with that frequency level. I love what you're saying here. This is amazing. Exactly. We're collectively thinking on the same way.
We are now aligned.
Okay? That's right.
In frequency. And, you know, so if there's someone that wants to step up into a greater belief in themselves, as I would switch back to getting, you know, get still. Second step is get a journal, start writing about what it is that you really want and who you truly are. You know, we have an identity crisis in America, and I think you'll agree with that. You know, a lot of people think they're accomplishments, that, you know, that their boats, their houses, their cars. That's who I am. But, you know, that couldn't be further from the truth. Mm. And what we have to do is we have to realign, as Eric said earlier, realign with with ourselves. But it takes work. I don't know about you, Eric. I get a lot of work on this. Mm. What happened? I had to reprogram my thinking. Reading books like Eric has, he's got 33 of them out there. Reading my books, I got 6 out there. You know, and I got a couple more coming out. So I probably won't be where Eric is unless I live to be 140. You never know. Yeah.
You know, a great technique to share with your audience right now is write, you know, the quick list method we were talking about earlier before the break, and take a look at another piece of paper, write down 10 or 15 individuals that you really trust, right? That you look up to, that you, they don't have to all be mentors of yours or anything, but maybe it's, you look up to them for certain reasons in their accomplishments of their life, right? Why they're so successful, and you're friends with them, call them up or text them or, you know, send them an email and say, or call them. Hey, that's weird, right? I have this phone, which is weird that it has an app that actually has a phone. You can make phone calls on this phone. It's really weird. Anyway, maybe call them and then ask them to share their true, genuine thoughts and opinions of you, of your attributes. You know, what do you bring to the table? And no, don't sugarcoat it. Like if I ask some people are like, oh, you're awesome, right? Because I probably instilled that in their brain. but I want to know the true opinion of these individuals, right? And ask 10 people that you really trust And what you'll start seeing is, hopefully, so you'll see, hopefully two things you'll see. You have a piece of paper, you write down these 10 names, and then these 10 conversations happen over the next, you know, 2-3 weeks. And then you start seeing you write down the 3 or 4 things that these people tell you, right? Each, all right. Let's say it's 3 uncommon, or 3 things normally they give you. Write those 3 things down. Now you've got 10 times 3, 30 different opinions or attributes or information about you. And you'll start noticing 2 things, right? At least this is what I noticed when I did it. 2 things I noticed. One was I noticed similarities, okay, within those 30 attributes that people told me, you know, true, genuine attributes. I saw similarities. I was like, okay, they see that. They apparently like that. Oh, that's another thing. Ask them what they like about your attributes, right? So you're getting the positives. And you can get the negatives too, so you can fix those. But you'll start seeing, so you'll have 2 separate groups here of lists. But you'll start seeing the similarities, and that's great news. So now that's proving to you that you are being a caring person, let's say, or you are whatever that is. And then you're going to start seeing another a commonality of those 30 attributes. And you'll start seeing differences, you know, different things that are not in common with the other individuals that are telling you this. And there you can get some information. This is intel for you to say, wow, I didn't realize that you thought this of me. If that's good, it's it even more. If it's bad, you know, maybe you want to change that. That was one, you know, this is exactly what I did. Well, I've done it a few times throughout my years. Excuse me. but I did this one time a while back. And two names, two buddies that, you know, you're friends with, I'm sure, as well. John Assaraf and Greg Reed. Those two guys were the two people who commonly told me about an attribute that they didn't like about me. And that's when I quit drinking. It wasn't that I had a drinking problem or anything like that. I was just like the life of the party. What's up? Right. And they're like, we love hanging out with you up until 10 o'clock at night or 9:55, whatever time it was that I had that third drink, let's say. And then they're like, peace out. Gotta go. I love hanging out with you, not the alcohol you. Right. So that's what that's why I changed.
That's
that.
Good. That's really good. And, you know, and it took a lot of courage to do that. You know, courage shows up. Of course, courage is an energy, a frequency, and a vibration that shows up when you walk into the unknown. So if you're feeling like, oh, I could never do that, well, you got to step into the unknown and go ask somebody to go do that so that your courage shows up. And once it shows up once, it's like a muscle. You keep building it. Keep it. Ask the next person.
And here's another book I wrote about 6 months ago called Courage, Survival to Thrival.
Oh, my God.
All about courage. All
right, listen, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to take a little deeper dive into the word and when we speak. And what we're transmitting to others, and why that even matters. Okay? I'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional. Our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm speaking with Eric Swanson, author, speaker, and a man who has truly helped thousands of people to upshift their lives, become better at all areas of their lives. And Eric, it's an honor to have you here. The words that we speak are really important. They matter because they're filled with energy, they're filled with vibration, they're filled with power and presence and conviction. Or they're not. And the part is the challenge that I think a lot of people have. How do we teach that, Eric? How could somebody learn to be able to step into power and conviction when they're speaking with their family members or even on stage or wherever it is? But what's your thought around that?
Yeah, my thought is this. It's going to sound simple, but truly the simpler techniques are the best ones. Try it out. That's my, and try it out, but then make a record of it. Okay. Or I'll explain what I'm trying to say here is like my mentor, I keep on mentioning Brian Tracy is my main mentor. I've worked with him for years and years and he's just a genius. And Brian used to teach us about whatever you're going to do is great, but you have to track it. If you don't track things, if you don't make a record of it, then the productivity lacks. Okay. And this is on productivity and sales training and all the different things that I learned from him. So what gets tracked gets done is what the premise was when he taught us this years and years ago. So I use the same premise in what your words should be. So if you could use this technique in anything really, but we're talking about your words and aligning your words with the real true outcome or the purpose that you're striving for. So if you're striving to have a fantastic life, to communicate better, to make sure that you're not in just survival mode, but you're in thrival mode. I wrote a book called Survival to Thrival, and it's all about courage, and stepping up and utilizing your words and and having the compassion behind the words. It's not just the words. Words that come out of my mouth, this sound that's coming out of my mouth is like the paper we're talking about in regard to money. It's just there. But what is the purpose behind it if you follow through with it? So what I suggest is try it out. Try out your words. Your words are impeccable. Who told us that? Pablo Coelho? No, I can't remember who said that. Was it Luis? The Four Agreements, right?
Don Miguel Luis.
Yes, Don Miguel Luis. So your words are impeccable because you are your words. You are because what happens? And again, you have to talk to the main experts that know about cellular, inside your body and so forth. But I'll give you what I've learned from them is. Every part of your body, we're made up of cells and we're made up of all these different things that are really intangible. You can't see them, right? Your thoughts, your frequencies, your levels of awesomeness is what I call it. So if you're in alignment, then your words should be in alignment with your whole body and your whole meaning behind this vessel, right? Talking about some Wayne Dyer now, right? Dr. Wayne Dyer used to tell us that this is just a vehicle. That our body, this flesh, this whatever it is, it's just a vehicle. It's just a vehicle for you to use to go and explore this beautiful world. But what you do inside and how you allow the outside world, right? The people around you and you're communicating. And that's where words come into play. So my suggestion is this. try out different words, you know, try out different scenarios. Wouldn't it be great if we had like a 2020, someone should make up a, like an app on a phone and make it like the 2020 app, right? So, you know, hindsight is 2020, right? So wouldn't it be cool if you went up and said, instead of walking up to Ken, I go, you know, Ken's like, well, that's weird. And he walks away. Instead, you know, pause, rewind, 2020 app. I come up and go, Ken, great to see you, man. You look amazing. I love your shirt, by the way. Do you play golf? Looks like a really nice golf shirt. And he's like, I do. I hit a home run one, a hole in one last week. Right. So now that brings up a communication and so forth. And it really enhances the experience. So my suggestion is try it out. Try out these different words that you're going to use and start taking a note of it, take record of it and say to yourself, okay, this works, this works, this works. I started noticing this whenever I walk up to anyone. And don't tell anyone the secret, okay? This isn't broadcasted, right? Just kidding. Whenever you walk up to anyone, first thing out of your mouth, compliment them on something. Yes. Just compliment. Be like, oh, man, you look amazing. You look, wow, are you in shape? I never said you lost weight or something. Don't say that. Say, wow, you look like you've been working out. And they're like, yeah, I have. You know, I got off the couch finally. All right.
You know, one of the ways that really, you know, when I first heard that 30 years ago, I went, you know what? I'm going to practice that. I'm not going to just pretend like I just go in and out. And so I started doing that with cashiers. You know, anytime I go to the store, I find something they're doing right, compliment them on something, yes. Whether it's their, you know, their smile or, you know, or their dress or whatever it is. And, you know, I can't tell you. You know, my goal today when I go into stores, just to put a smile on somebody's face. Yes. I can't tell you how many times that works. It works almost like clockwork all the time. So
yes.
That's what I was saying. And, you know, part of that is practicing these words. You know, the other thing I'll mention on the word front here, Eric, is at one point I took 2,500 people through a course I taught, which is called Speaking Presence. And I taught them to stand up on stage and be able to just allow their voice to come up and not be prepared, practice anything like we do today, right? We're letting it flow. But in the beginning, that's hard. So what I told them to do is, and what I tell people to do today is get your iPhone out and record yourself speaking for like 3 minutes. That's it. You know, maybe even 2 minutes. Okay. Just record yourself and then watch that back and start to fall in love with yourself. All the ums, the ahs, the whatever you do or don't do, you know, your face, what it looks like, or the contorts, or whatever you do, just fall in love with yourself. And part of that, you know, when we're judging ourselves harshly, we're worried about what other people think or say about us. It's, you know, what, by the way, whatever people think or say about you is none of your business. It's their business, not yours. So when we're in that place, it's hard to get our words out. It's hard to speak with passion and conviction because we're worried. There's fear involved. So we got to let go of those fears. So I just want to plus that when what you're sharing here.
Yeah. It reminds me of a movie years and years ago with Robin Williams and Dead Poets Society is the movie. And what a
fantastic. Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
And there's a section in that movie where Robin Williams takes he's the teacher in this boys school, I think. And he takes all the kids out. I think Ethan Hawke was in there, right? Wasn't it his breakout role? So they took all the kids out to the field and they give them all these footballs. And they're like, well, are we going to play a game, a football? And they're like, he's like, no, no, no. I just want you to spike the ball and do a different spike, a different awesomeness, whatever your style is, right? And it kind of reminds me of what you were saying, like get on stage and with all of our, if somebody says it, imperfections or perfections, with all of our awesome perfections, right? And go out there and spike the ball how you want to spike it, because it's your business, it's nobody else's. And I love what you just said about you know, other people's opinions it's theirs. Because if you think about it, they get to go home with that opinion. You don't even know about it unless they tell you. So let them go home with it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And when they tell you, you think to yourself, interesting point of view.
Yes.
Because you know yourself, you know who you are, you know what you're about, you know your purpose, these are things you might need to work on. But if you know these things, it's like that's their point of view. That's right. You know, and you don't take that on either.
One year, I wanted to put a little, I was going to put some tape around one of my, the back of my suit jacket and a little tiny cardboard box. And it would say comments here, you know, so people could put comments in there.
I love it. Hey, for my listening audience, Eric, why don't you tell them that website to go to? Yeah.
SpeakerEricSwanson.com. Pretty simple. Okay, and I spell the K, E-R-I-K.
Well, so, what are they going to find over there?
So I mean, tons of things. Obviously, I teach coaching clients to be better speakers, to get on stages, to get on the stages of life. It doesn't have to be a quote unquote stage. It could be, you know, really communicating the best way. All right. So I coach a lot that my coaching clients that way. Also, we have Integrity Publishing. I mean, if you're looking to become an author, I'm now a 33-time number one best-selling author. It's crazy. This book I co-wrote with our dear friend Sharon Lecter that you and I just saw.
Oh, yeah.
Bestseller and so many different.
What's the name of that book, Eric?
This is called The 13 Steps to Riches, and it's on.
I love that.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've co-written books with people from, I mean, like John Assaroff, people from The Secret, you know, Joe Vitale to. Dr. Dennis Waitley used to be a dear friend of mine. We just lost him last year. Let's see. I mean, the list goes on. Kevin Harrington from Shark Tank. So my point is, what are they going to find there? So I teach people we do three different things. One is teaching them and coaching them on how to be a better you, better person, whether you're on stage or off, communication skills. Second thing is, if you want to become an author, we teach you how to do that. And we've got a publishing company to do that. And then we have over, I think, 500 or 600 authors now through us, all number one bestsellers. And then the other thing is we teach and we encourage people to join our masterminds. We have masterminds on Zooms and different things like that.
You're doing so many great things. Wow. Thanks, congratulations on all your success, Eric. Gosh, it's been a pleasure. You know, when you're doing things that you really love, time goes like that. And you know what? Our time is out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
Where's the candle? It's not out yet, is it?
Not yet. So, amazing. Any thoughts?
Bless you. Final thoughts are, I mean, you're amazing. I just want my thought. Final thoughts. I want to compliment you, Ken, because you're truly changing the world. One, you know, office and living room at a time, right? Because you're in people or cars, right? You're in people's cars on the radio too. So I highly recommend, you know, take these things that Ken's teaching you and encouraging you to learn and grow. But don't just listen to them and say, here's something. Here's a thought that I'll share with you.
Make it quick. We got to end here.
So Jim Rohn told me one time that don't just assume that you know it. If you listen to something and you heard something, don't say, oh, yeah, I got that. Or that's a good idea. Actually act upon it. Right. That's my thought.
That's it. And I want to thank you for being here one more time. And for all of you, I want to remind you that if you keep listening to these shows, share these shows, you will soon be able to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and be able to do the impossible. So thank you so much for joining us. Pass it on.